Anybody see my pants?
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
There they are. Thank you.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
No, these aren't my pants.
Whatever.
Yeah, that's them. Over there. Good evening.
Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
I thought so.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much. Welcome to the program. It is my extreme pleasure, not yours. All right, it is yours. It's not mine. I'm so confused about the pleasure thing. Pleasure confuses me. How are you? Welcome to the program. A little bit of a different show today. We're expecting Hurricane Florence to hit the East Coast down near the Carolinas, maybe a part of Virginia, but now heading a little bit more south, slowing down, but at the same time, the intensity of the winds have diminished. Now, when you have your gusts at 110 miles an hour as a Category 2, that's still significant. But the main thing here, besides the wind, which can be damaging and causes, like, for sure, power outages, for sure, is the fact that the storm stalls as it hugs the coast and dumps tons of rain for days onto the area, which is, again, for sure, flooding. And if you think you moved inland to be safe, well, the storm's going inland, not as a Category 2 or anything. But at the same time, just continuing that flooding and raining, and I think, you know, no matter where you live, if it rains enough, you get flooded. If your river overflows or you get big sea surges, yeah, you're going to get flooding for sure. But groundwater is going to seep in with upwards of 5 to 10 inches of rain. Holy crap, man. It's a lot of rain. If they're having a drought there, that should end that. Weather is getting more severe. Of course, every year we get hurricanes. This is the height of hurricane season. But the consequences seem to get like more on the intense side than ever. And that's part of what we're going to talk about today. We have two very incredible guests on the show that we were able to get for this program because of the timing of this hurricane. As far as the intensity of the storms, we have a gentleman who is the mayor in Carmel, Indiana. They're having a summit meeting on weather and the loss of wildlife and just things that are that actually affects human beings and animals. This weather shift, these intense earthly problems. We're going to look at that today, and then more directly, we're going to talk to a very knowledgeable person about how to protect yourself in case of a hurricane. What if you require power in order to run your dialysis machine if you have a kidney problem? Or maybe you need a respiratory system? I mean, electricity becomes important. Being able to get your pills and your inoculations, some people on a daily basis, this becomes a problem. A very serious problem, a life-threatening problem. So we're going to talk about that end of it as well, which is the fatal end and not being able to administer your medications in the height of a storm. So those two things are kind of topical. So we're going to move away from the comedy portion of the program and get into these two situations a little bit later on in the show today. Of course, President Trump. Oh, let's go to the White House. I do picture them running around the Oval Office with seltzer bottles. I really do. And every once in a while, Trump will duck if he can react fast enough so he doesn't get hit with a pie in the face. But every once in a while, he does. And it's just what used to be funny is now scary. Scary. I'm trying to just understand that Trump will probably be with us for another 4 years. And that's such a long haul. No, he won't. He'll be with us for another 2 years, obviously. He's not going to be with us for another 4 years. He'll be with us for another 2 years. But so much damage can be done in 2 years. So much damage. Let's just get him out of there. Let's dangle a shiny object in front of his face. How about that for a change? Why don't we tell him, Don, if you resign, then, see, if you don't resign, you're going to go down in shame. You're going to go down in flames and you're going to go down in shame. You'll be the most hated individual on the planet for a long time. I won't mention the other people that are hated for all time, but you will be amongst those people. Not by everybody, not by your 30%, but I'll tell you, 30% is not a big deal anymore. 30% is not big. Don, here's the deal. If you resign right now, I know you never quit and you never say you're sorry. Why don't you make believe that you made this choice? Look, you know, I've been president for 2 years. It's just absolutely ridiculous. It's a witch hunt. It's a witch hunt. And I've pretty much had it. And I'm leaving right now. I'm going to go back to private life. And look, I'm 72 years old. That's just too much for me. And I'm going to start a whole new empire. I'm going to start my own communications company. I'm going to be famous and rich, and I don't have to put up with all your crap. You guys, you don't know how good you had it when I was president, but I'm going to leave. I'm going to teach you guys a lesson. That would be good, Don. That would be great for everybody. Pence would become president. Not thrilled about that, but at least he's not you. In other words, it doesn't change the policy road at all. That still sucks, as far as I'm concerned. But at least it gets a crazy man out of that Oval Office. That's dangerous. You don't understand how dangerous that is. Give the crazy man a button that can blow up the world? No, that's not an equation that's mathematically sound. This hurricane is going to be hitting later on today, tonight, whenever you're listening to this. I don't know. And Donald Trump is already claiming success. You know the phrase, country before yourself? Don got it backwards. It's yourself before country. Don, one of the most damaging things he did was a few days ago, he said that Puerto Rico was an amazing success. Amazing success. He's just the best when it comes to helping people out in bad weather. And I just remember the video of him standing in the front of a room, tossing out rolls of paper towels to people and enjoying it like he was some kind of football player, quarterback, throwing out paper towels to people. And he was having a great time. And in the meantime, 3,000 people, up to 3,000 people will die within months later. Because they don't have water, they don't have electricity. They didn't have a lot of it before because the infrastructure in Puerto Rico is very, very poor. But it would have been a great opportunity to do this and to show the people who are Americans what we can do to help them. And of course, just yesterday we got reports and video of millions of bottles of spring water sitting on the tarmac at an airport. Never distributed to people, never distributed, just sitting there and sitting there and sitting there. You put two and two together and it doesn't come out to seven, Don. Yeah. Don thinks it was an island that was very hard to get to. No, people actually vacation there, Don. It's not that hard to get to. It's really not. It was just poorly managed. And then in his tweet, of course, is the way he communicates. This is how a mature man or woman communicates to their people through tweets. That's how we do this. He pats himself on the back for the wonderful job that he did in Puerto Rico. At the same time, in the same tweet, he says, despite that mayor of San Juan, who is an idiot, he has to put somebody down in every instance in order to make him look better. In every single statement, in every single tweet, he has to go back to somebody else. They're horrible. He's the greatest. It's an amazing, amazing psychological profile. Anyway, I'm not into this right now, man. I'm just saying, you got a storm on the way. Let's deal with that and the people who are involved. And they're as ready as they can be. And let's see what happens. Don's latest tweet as president, he said that he's already getting accolades about the storm preparedness for Hurricane Florence. He's getting accolades. Doesn't say from whom, but he's getting accolades. He has to always make it look like he is getting a standing ovation for something. It's amazing to me. I think I said on yesterday's show, way back, Don said to the public, I could even play it for you right now, where he said, never apologize, never say you're sorry. That's a sign of weakness. There's a man I admire, right? Yeah, and I mean that sarcastically. Okay, I mean that sarcastically. I can't stand the man. I hope we make it through the two more years, unless Mueller can come out with some damning evidence. I can't see how he couldn't. Come on out, Mueller. Let's do this. Let's start dancing here. You got so much stuff on this guy. Let's start opening the book. Let's do it. Come on. Well, I mean it. I'm serious. That's better. That's better. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to explore what's going on with our guests. But first, this commercial word.
Ain't always easy these days to know what to give your kids for snacks. Sugary this, high fructose that. Heck, even the stuff they call natural ain't always natural. But there's one snack when your kids ask for it, you know exactly what you're giving them.
I want Piggy Parts. I want Piggy Parts.
Professor Parker's preserved Piggy Parts are 100% all-natural salt-preserved pig parts. What parts, you ask? Well, some folks would call them scraps or ears or hoofs, but kids just call them delicious. And with their stiff, leathery texture, one Professor Parker's preserved Piggy Part will last a kid all afternoon. That's what we call value. So stock up now for school. You'll find them at the end of the pet food aisle in original barbecue or vinegar, garlic, teriyaki, onion, habanero, pineapple flavor. Give them a try and you'll see why kids say,
That's some good piggies.
Professor Parker's Preserve Piggy Parts.
Hi, Mandy.
Hi, good morning.
How are you today?
I'm doing pretty well, thank you. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. Amanda Hale is Vice President of Nursing at Vita Kidney Care. And we're talking today really for a specific immediate reason, although this subject can be discussed at any time, but we have an impending major hurricane around the Carolinas, perhaps Virginia, which is a huge swath, and rain staying inland for quite a period of time. And that presents certain logistical problems for many people who require electricity for their care and supplies, et cetera. And we're talking about kidney dialysis, but I guess this can refer to just about any type of similar physical need. So how do we handle this? What do we do? I know this is impending, so what are the requirements of kidney dialysis patients?
Well, thanks for identifying this important topic. Patients who are receiving dialysis absolutely in a number of different ways. First of all, there are some important documents that patients should have, and their loved ones and caregivers should have copies of in the event that the patients see their normal dialysis center experience temporary closure mm-hmm. or prevented from attending that center.
Mm-hmm.
And these would include things like a list of emergency phone numbers for the dialysis center and neighboring center, physician phone numbers,
mm-hmm.
and then also patients should have printed copies of their dialysis prescription
mm-hmm.
so they can present those to other facilities if the need arises.
Good, good. Yeah, because computer systems could be down, perhaps. I mean, you don't know what the results of something like this could be. Hopefully it won't be as severe, but as you say, you always have to prepare for severity just in case.
Absolutely.
Yeah. How much of a supply of medicines should you have on hand in your home?
That's a great question. Patients should have at least 3 days' worth mm-hmm. of all of their medications on hand, and then also a full medication list
mm-hmm.
In the event, again, that they don't have access mm-hmm. to their usual pharmacies. So 3 days of medications, but specifically for patients who have diabetes, mm-hmm. which is the leading cause of kidney failure, so many of our patients do, they should actually have a full week's worth of supplies to monitor and maintain their blood glucose levels. So insulin syringes, monitoring strips, things like that.
Okay. So similar to what anybody else would do, but to have the supplies in order to take care of your specific situation.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And these materials, such as a copy of the dialysis prescription and things like that, are provided to patients from their dialysis facilities and are part of emergency preparedness.
Okay. All right. So it's a good idea now to make sure that you have the supplies that you need. There's still time to do that. We've got about a day to do that.
Absolutely. Preparedness is key for circumstances like this. And dialysis facilities have planned for events like this.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen in other natural disasters very successful outcomes for our patients because of these preparedness tips.
Yeah. What about food and such? I guess that's always for everybody. That's a good idea, just in case. Not that you're going to have to, but it's good to have. I guess we're getting into canned goods here.
Absolutely. So our patients, specifically, again, patients who receive dialysis, mm-hmm. should have at least 3 days' worth of emergency foods.
Mm-hmm.
And this is because patients on dialysis
mm-hmm.
have particular diets
right.
That they need to follow to remain safe. So
mm-hmm.
this should all be stored in a container or a bag or something that can be easily transported as necessary to prepare for evacuation.
Okay, very good. All right. Is it a good idea to call your facility today and find out from that particular facility what their preparedness requirements may be?
Absolutely. Contacting facilities directly is always a good idea for patients.
Mm-hmm.
There's more information available on our website, which is www.davita.com. And for any patients that are displaced or need dialysis care, DaVita, we actually have a 800 number, and that's 1-800-400-8331. And that number will, although a national number, will help patients with their local needs.
Okay. Once again, that phone number?
That's 1-800-400-8331.
Okay. And again, that's davita.com. That's davita.com. Well, thank you for the information. Is there anything else we need to know?
Ultimately, just follow these tips. Make sure that you are prepared. Keep that number handy
mm-hmm.
and stay safe.
Okay. And hopefully you won't need to do anything, but just in case, right?
Absolutely.
Good. Mandy, thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Well, there you have that. Now, we're going to move on, and we're going to talk to the our next guest, the World Wildlife Fund, and find out how this global change is just, you know, killing everything. That might be a bit extreme, but it's certainly on that track. Let's move on to that.
Seriously, if this guy was any cooler, he would be pronounced dead.
That's not good.
He's Ron Van Dam, and this is The Ron Van Dam Show.
Hello.
Hi, Ron. How are you?
I'm great. Lou Leonard is joining us. He's Senior VP for Climate and Energy, World Wildlife Fund. And Jim Brainerd joins us. He's the mayor of Carmel, Indiana. And we're talking about the 2018 Global Climate Action Summit. I'm glad somebody is. Thanks for doing this. My God, I'll tell you, I give to this fund continually, and everybody should, because if you don't, nobody is. Tell me about the this Global Climate Action Summit, which is so sorely needed to discuss.
Thanks, Ron. I think that this summit is really a turning point in the response to climate change, which is good news. You know, we've typically thought of this problem as something that national governments need to solve for us, but that hasn't gotten us where we need, as you know. And this week in San Francisco, for the first time, there's a climate summit that isn't about national governments. It's about everybody else. And so we're going to see hundreds of corporate executives from all around the world, mayors like Jim Brainerd, governors, and they're coming to announce new actions to buy more renewables, to reduce food waste, and to build safer communities. So it's going to be an important moment.
Yeah, it's an important moment for many reasons. One is that people and companies and committees and groups can actually take action themselves without, as you say, depending on government, which has hugely failed us on this front, and this country worldwide. We're the only ones that seem to have stepped back for no reason whatsoever. But anyway, when is this taking place? September 12th, is it?
Yep, it's actually this week, the 12th, 13th, and 14th. I'm actually out in San Francisco right now.
Good, good. Tell me, and we're discussing recyclables, the environment, et cetera. What are some of those huge topics that everybody seems to agree on?
Well, I think mayors across the country, as they hear from their constituents, want to make certain that they leave their communities in better shape than they found them. You know, that means cleaner water, cleaner air, less carbon being emitted, and you know, 85% of the country's population lives in an urban area. So mayors have lots of influence, and city councils have lots of influence over the changes that need to be made to reduce our carbon outputs.
Yeah. Why do you think that this is so much of an urban leaning for the environment, where it seems that when you go out of the urban areas to the more secluded parts of this country, there doesn't seem to be that much of a push? Is it because is it because of being informed? Is that part of it?
I think that's part of it, but I think there's a great opportunity for people that care about the climate to talk to people in small towns and rural areas, because these are often people that farm, and they see the changes happening and how they're able to grow crops. These are often people who hunt and fish, and they have this connection with nature. And I just think that we have to, and the scientific community needs to continue to explain what the impacts are going to be if we don't make the proper changes.
Yeah. But, I mean, you've pretty much included everybody. You've talked about people that farm, people who are in these beautiful outdoor areas, people in urban areas where there's pollution, et cetera, and extreme results from severe weather. I mean, it seems like everybody's affected by it. I don't understand why certain people don't accept this. Is there a reasoning that you can see?
Well, I think that's beginning to change, a bit, Ron. Of course, mm-hmm. like in Washington, D.C., things are a little bit polarized right now.
Little
and
bit.
All set.
A little bit. But, little bit. Yeah,
but if you look at this movement that emerged last year in the United States called "We Are Still In," mm-hmm. Mayor Brainard is part of it, and he's one of 3,500 leaders, or corporate executives, mayors, governors, saying that they're going to continue to move forward on climate action. I think that there's representatives in all 50 states in that mm-hmm. coalition, so I think that's a sign that we're really starting to see this go mainstream. This issue of climate response go mainstream. Stream and we're starting to break down some of those barriers.
You know,
I agree with that. And I'm a Republican sitting out here in Indiana, but the Republican Party has a great history, starting with Teddy Roosevelt and Nixon, who set up the EPA, and Eisenhower, who set aside the Arctic Reserve of environmentalism in this country and taking care of our planet. And, there's the old joke at the mayor's conference is there's no Democratic or Republican way to fill a chuck hole or plow snow. Mm-hmm. And that applies here, too. And Republican mayors are hand-in-hand with Democrat mayors making a difference at the local level. In fact, at our annual mayor's meeting at the U.S. Congress of Mayors a few years ago, we had 99% of the country's mayors signed a statement saying that we're going to do what we can to improve the environment in our local mm-hmm. communities. And quite honestly, we can meet our Paris climate goals at the local level, regardless right. of what the federal government chooses to do.
That's true. But at the same time, it's I think that this country should make a statement to the world. We used to lead in everything else. Now we don't. And this is one area where we used to lead in. Anyway.
I would disagree with that to one extent.
Yeah.
The federal government is not leading, but the people of this country, represented by their mayors,
right.
are leading.
Yeah.
We're still continuing to do what we need to do yeah. at the local level where it makes a huge difference. It was the local governments, the mayors and city councils, mm-hmm. that set building standards for all our new buildings. They design our transportation systems. They build walkable cities or cities where you have to drive mm-hmm. everywhere. Mm-hmm. There's choices every day being made at the local level that impact the environment, and mayors are making the right decisions.
Absolutely.
City councils are making the right decisions because they're the type of government that's closest to the people, and the people of this country are concerned about our environment, and they're concerned about climate change.
Excellent. Well, very well put. How do we get more information on this?
Ron, your listeners can go to wearestillin.com, and there you can see this movement that I talked about. You can get more information about the San Francisco event, and you can see whether your mayor, if you don't live in Carmel, Indiana, or the companies that you shop from or frequent are part of this movement. If they're not, you can call them up and write them an email and say you should join.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's where it hurts them. If they don't comply to your, your opinions. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Great to be with you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Greetings, fellow planet travelers. Kip Starchild here with your horoscope scape for the month. Let's see what the stars have in store for you. Aquarius. There are just two words for your month ahead: regrettable tattoos. Pisces, remember that when one door closes, another one opens. Usually, you probably shouldn't stand around waiting. You could try knocking politely, but... yeah. Aries, no one wants to get hit by falling space junk, but you should probably get used to the idea. Taurus, new friends and a new outlook on life are coming your way, thanks to a blow to the skull and subsequent amnesia. Gemini, get out of that bad relationship you're in, because the bad part? Yeah, that would be you. Cancer, keep in mind that naked midnight spearfishing during a thunderstorm only sounds like a good idea when you're really drunk and should probably be taken home instead. Leo, here are your two words for the month: lengthy trial. Oh, and two more: concurrent sentences. Virgo, just when it looks like things are about as bad as it gets, get ready to discover that you are wrong. Libra, A modeling opportunity is coming your way this month. Looks like you'll be the before picture for either weight loss or hair restoration or toe fungus removal. Possibly all three. Scorpio, change your travel plans soon. The stars are a little clear on exactly why, but apparently everyone in Taiwan hates you. Sagittarius, you're going viral this month, but a hearty dose of antibiotics should clear that right up in no time. Capricorn, you will soon hear from an old flame. Considering your track record, it will probably be about bail money or muling one more load of coke over the border, but just see where that goes. Why not? That's your horoscopescape for the month. I'm Kip Starchild. Until next time, peace.
Well, there you have it for today. A little bit of a different show. I'll be back tomorrow with a normal program, what might be considered normal for this program. So please join me then, anytime tomorrow. It's fine. It doesn't really matter to me. It's totally up to you. Have yourselves a wonderful day. You know, you can kind of decide what kind of day you're going to have. Even when things are going poorly, you can change the direction. That's actually not true. I wish you peace.